Good job, Josiah. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter number 3. If we can, to save time, let's go right to the passage. Thank you very much. Orchestra members, let's give them a round of applause. They do a great job every day, and I appreciate the extra work they do to get their instrument tuned and ready to go for each chapel service. You add so much. Thank you very much for each of you. Take the time to assemble your flutes or get your trumpet ready or your violin or viola or cello. Thank you so much for that. Proverbs chapter number 3, and let's look at this again. This is our second message on this particular passage of Scripture, and I want it to be a help to you. We just have just a few minutes until we need to go on to our next hour class, but I am thankful for the opportunity. I really appreciate each of the admonitions we heard from our pastors, and I want to encourage you. Glad to have Brother Craig Carpenter with us today from Ocean Springs, and if you're looking for a Christian school to serve in potentially, I'd like to have all our education majors take a moment to greet him and see he and his precious wife Steph's not here today, but I thank God for them. They sat right where you sat just a few years ago and now administrating a Christian school with the Lord's help. Very thankful for his leadership and glad he's here with us today. And glad to have Mike here from his church and school there as well. Okay, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 1, can we please? Where the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." Just a reminder, we're going to read several verses here, and you're going to see an admonition, and then you're going to see a benefit. The commandments of God are not grievous. God blesses every act of obedience. When the Spirit of God speaks to you and you obey the Bible and you obey the Spirit, God's going to bless you. You may not see initially the blessings, but you're going to see if you'll continue on. And here he says, the dad says to the son, he goes, "I want you to keep my commandments and adopt them. Make them a part of your heart. Don't just put up with them, but adopt them, embrace them. Make them a part of your thinking, your feeling, and your desires." And what happens when you do that? Well, there's three byproducts. Look at verse number 2. Would you please read out loud with me, everyone? Verse number 2. "For length of days and long life," he said, if you'll learn to keep God's word, keep those who are godly people that give you admonition, you're going to find you're going to get more done in the life that God has given you. You'll get done more. Everybody has 24 hours every day, 168 hours in every week, 7 days in every week, 365 days a year. You have the same. Now, how long your life is going to live, that is something that is different for all of us. However, you can get more done in your time if you'll learn not to fight the rules, not to fight the commandments, but to embrace them. And you'll find there's a lot more fluidness that comes. Many of us, they'll come to college like this one, and they'll just spend their time. That's dumb. That's a dumb rule. That's a dumb rule. I don't know why we have to fill that pass. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to turn the lights off here? Why do we have to scan in here? And you can fight it all you want to, but you're losing. You're shooting yourself in your proverbial foot. You're hurting your own potential of abilities to get more done, to live quite longer. And then number 3, to enjoy peace. You got to have peace to make progress. You got to have rest to progress. And people who are fighting rules are tore up on the inside. They don't have the inner peace, the inner man strength they need to function and get as much done. One thing you would want for your life, and I want for you, is that God would help you do whatever he wants you to do to the maximum potential. We want you to, whatever God calls you to do, you want to be good at it. You want the Lord to use you. And part of that is your mindset regarding commandments. Don't fight them. Embrace them. When they frustrate you, we understand that. That happens sometimes. There are some rules that are not biblical. They're institutional. They're things that we use for function, they're not biblically. You can't argue right or wrong on that. You're just going to argue, hey, institutionally, somewhere along the line it came. And some rules change in time. They're changed. I'm always a little reluctant when we change a rule here because I wonder why it was installed in the first place. And if it's not broken, I don't want to fix it. But there's some things that change with time, with culture and different things that change. They're not right or wrong. They're just institutionally they're like dark at 6 o'clock, you know. That's in the Bible, isn't it? No, it's not in the Bible, okay? Changing dark, and that means that you can't go outside with someone that you're fond of and walk around the lake past 6 o'clock. There's no biblical rule about that. And by the way, just get married, and you can do it. You know, that's right. However, there's no, but institutionally, we're here and we love you. We want to do all we can to protect you. And so those are things that we do to kind of keep us from temptation and from things that could be hurtful to your future and to your present. Let's look at the next verses if we can, verses 3 and verse number 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. The Bible tells us mercy and truth are found 10 times in the Bible exactly like this, mercy and truth. And I think it speaks somewhat of balance. Mercy is something that God insists that we have and embrace. And there are several verses in the Bible that are, they encapsulate Christianity in just a short few words. I like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Boy, that's really Christianity. Or to love God and with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor, yourself. That would be, if you could do those two things, you really wouldn't probably need a Bible. We can't do those things. We need a Bible to help us do those things. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. It's a clean conscience and a faith that is unfeigned. Really, that verse kind of just encapsulates, if you could have charity for God and others, love for God and others with a pure heart, and you could have a clean conscience, you'd keep a short account of sin, nothing between your soul and the Savior and other people, and you lived out your faith without pretense and without hypocrisy, oh man, that's the whole reason God gave us the Bible. The classic verses in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we'll see in just a few moments, potentially, trust in the Lord with all thine, lean not to thine own. Okay, even things you think, oh, I got this figured out. I've done this 1,000 times. That's where you need to trust God again. So, well, I know how to do this. I have been at the graveside of someone who has passed away or a funeral home or a service for someone who's passed away 523 times in my last 22 years of living. And I sometimes when I find out I'm going to do a funeral, there's a tendency, well, you know, I've done that before. I kind of know what I'm going to do. Boy, I have to fight that off. I rarely ever step out of my vehicle or even make my way to a funeral home without stopping and saying, Father, help me. I may have done this before, but I don't know these people. I don't know this situation. And I do not want to lean upon what I think I know. I want to lean upon your Holy Spirit to help me in this matter. Please help me. Sometimes when you're good at something that you think you're good at, that's where the area you would need to not lean on your own understanding, what you think you understand. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Recognize God. And then what happens? He directs your path. The classic verse along with that, of course, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it speaks of, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Recognize God in every equation and do what He tells you to do. Keep His commandment. Why? This is the whole duty of man. But Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, the Bible tells us, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. Apostle Paul was responsible for writing at least 13 books of the Bible. Three of the books, or we call them pastoral epistles. And the other 10 books, when he greeted people, he would say, grace and peace be with you. In the pastoral epistles, he said, grace, mercy, and peace. One of the things that most of you will do in your life if God lets you and you stay close to Him is you're going to be a leader. The work of God revolves heavily around three concepts that you need to understand. Number one, the lordship of Jesus. Number two, the leadership of His people. God will make you leaders. And then lastly, the partnership together. Everybody working together. It's teamwork that makes the dream work. But I will say this, when it comes to leadership, you must embrace mercy. There has to be mercy and truth. They're good together, and they're dangerous apart if you don't have one without the other. Occasionally, you'll find people that anything goes. I mean, they just feel sorry for, you know, they don't want to call anybody who's immoral like a real bad sinner because, you know, they probably have reason. They have all mercy, mercy, mercy. But with mercy, you must balance it with truth. Got to have a backbone. Some people are just truth, 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 and they have no love and no mercy for people, no patience with people. We heard that Brother Prominence, I think, mentioned that. Some other folks love God, love people, be patient with people, and never quit. That was a theme I heard a couple times. But you need to have mercy and truth. It's a balancing act. Like a pastor, he's working on soul winning and discipleship, evangelism and edifying, building up people. It has to be together. If you just have a soul winning, you never edify people. You might win people to Christ, and that's what God wants to do, but you'll never strengthen your ministry past your willingness to work with people. If people only disciple people, but they don't win people to Christ, there's no one to work with in time. There is to be a balance there. There's a lot of balance in the Christian life. Someone said, what matters most, your quality time or your quantity time? Well, both. There's a balance in those situations. But here he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He tells us here to bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Keep it close to you. Those two balance. By the way, the Spirit of God will help you balance mercy and truth. But the benefit we see is when you find someone who is strong on his convictions, but gracious in his spirit, merciful with people, willing to work with people. You got somebody who doesn't get along with you. The Bible tells in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you got someone who's a hard head, that they're just going the wrong way. He said, the servant of God in context must not strive, but be gentle with all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God prevents you, will give them repentance, acknowledge of truth, and they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And you know what that verse, if you sum up those three verses, it is mercy and truth. It is standing on something that's right, but having a merciful spirit, a gracious and a patient spirit working with people. What happens when you do that? Let's look at verse number 4 and we'll conclude our message today. Verse number 4, let's look at it. Ready? So should I find and good understanding in the sight of. That is something you don't want to live life without. You want the favor of God. Proverbs 22, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Two things you want to have in your life, because it does, it allows you to have more accomplishments, more influence, and that is a good name and loving favor. The Bible says when you have mercy and truth, you'll have favor, not only with man, but also with who we want it the most, and that's the Lord. Two concepts today. Number one, when you have rules and commandments and people who have given to you from godly sources, from the Word of God, don't just listen to it and keep it. Embrace it. Love it. You're going to find more productivity and peace to your own self. Number two, whenever you have a chance, you have mercy and truth. Seek a balance. Ask Lord for balance. And when you do so and keep it close to you, you're going to find that God is going to give you favor with Him and favor with others. And that is what ministry is about, is letting God favor you and then giving the favor of other people as you practice strong convictions with loving grace and kindness toward people. Let's pray together, can we? Father, thank you very much for the chance to be in chapel today. Thank you for everything we've heard. Well, what a beautiful thought from our pastor up in Milwaukee to preach Christ, make Him preeminent in our hearts and lives. May that be our goal. Thank you for the song that we heard. Man, I can't think of a more Christ-honoring song, Lord, that you would use our life to glorify you. Thank you for the men and women who are pastoring churches and for these young people. Bless them, protect them. Thank you for protecting our three young men who were involved in that car accident recently. Lord, it just makes me so happy that you helped them and they're not injured. I pray you please help Kagan as he works through that, Kian as he works through that situation with his insurance. But I pray you protect our students, help them to be light and salt in their community, help them be pure, whether, Lord, they're in their dorm room, they're on the soccer field, they're at their work, or they're on their bus route, or they're in a Sunday school class. I pray you'd help the young people, help them, Lord, to be attentive in church, and forgive us, Lord, when we're on our phone or goofing around. Help us to have enough maturity to realize this is a big deal. We get to serve you and want to keep it right. I pray you bless them, encourage them, help them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.